This podcast is a production of KCRW.
Just a warning before we get started, this episode contains strong language.
I've seen a lot of homeless camps broken up by Los Angeles law enforcement. I've never seen a top federal official butt in and promise that when that day comes, everybody will have someplace to go. But that's exactly what Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough did on October 20th, 2021. When he stood in front of TV cameras in D.C. and said this.
We're going to get the vets currently living on Veterans Row into housing by November.
By November. In other words, we're going to get nearly 40 unhoused veterans into housing in the next 10 days. This should be interesting. At Veterans Row, the morning after McDonough's announcement, L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva has decided it's time for a victory lap.
I'm glad that the secretary of the VA came out yesterday quite forcefully, said, hey, we're going to get everybody inside.
Villanueva's standing in front of the tents, shielded from the sun by a wide-brimmed hat and shades.
It's starting to pick up the pace, which is a healthy thing. I think this has been a problem for way too long. Everyone's starting to recognize, let's all come together, let's help these people, get them inside, get them the service, the help they need, and so it's starting to click.
And you know, I'll give you that. It is starting to click. When Secretary McDonough visited Veterans Row a couple of weeks ago, I thought it was mostly a photo op. But it turns out that just by putting his face on this situation and promising publicly to get all these veterans into housing by November, he actually did something significant. Now, officials running the big VA campus here can no longer consider the veterans outside their gates to be wards of LA County. The VA has to take responsibility for them. In this episode, what it really takes to get people off this street. I'm Anna Scott. This is City of Tents, Veterans Row, Episode 7, Decamping.
We got all these people walking up and down here going, oh, we want to house you. You got to be housed. You're getting housed by November 1st. Bullshit. It's not going to happen.
This is Brian Helip, the veteran who Secretary McDonough helped get into a hotel room.
I left the first hotel that I was at that was, I wouldn't let my dog stay, but I kept my mouth shut just trying to get to the next spot. Well, I found out the next spot is even worse. I had to walk and carry all my personal belongings back. And at this point, unless somebody comes at me and shows me a property with a real lease, I'll be out here another 7 years.
So here's the first thing I learned about how the VA plans to house everyone in 10 days. They'll get there partly by counting temporary shelter as housing. In my book, this is kind of cheating, which I know sounds nitpicky, but for people experiencing homelessness, there's a big difference between a short-term place to stay and a stable home. And by the federal government's own definition, veterans in temporary shelters are still homeless. But getting people off the street into safe places with bathrooms and showers, maybe even a TV, is huge. It's not ending their homelessness, but it could be life-saving. And the clock is really ticking now. With only a week left before Veterans Row is scheduled to be bulldozed from the sidewalk, outreach workers are offering up rooms like the ones Brian went to with an urgency I haven't seen before.
I can basically put them in extended stay. I can put them in Motel 6. I can put them in any motel basically around here that we're contracted with.
Veronica Martin works for the Salvation Army. She's walking up and down the line of tents, talking to veterans, taking notes.
If they tell me they're ready to go, my job is to screen them, deem them eligible, place them in a motel as of today, and find them transportation and put them there up to 45 days or 3 months, up until the time we're able to transition them into permanent housing. That's our goal here today.
And in the final week of Veterans Row, the tents start to empty. Meanwhile, local VA leaders are scrambling to create new shelter options on their own property. I first hear what they come up with from Rob Reynolds, and I almost can't believe it.
They're going to move onto the other side of the fence, and they're going to be in a tent, just going to set up their tents inside.
Set up their tents inside the VA gates. So between now and November 1st, Rob and other volunteers are going to build an identical encampment that they're calling Veterans Row 2.0 on a lawn right over the fence from where the line of tents is now. I know. This sounds so obvious, it's both funny and tragic that it didn't happen sooner, like a year and a half ago. A few days before the big move, I find Army veteran Jim Bob Brookheiser spreading his belongings on the sidewalk, sorting out what he wants to keep and what he wants to throw away before he starts camping on the grass over the fence.
The stuff that I cared about got stolen.
Jim Bob has shoulder-length green hair, which he dyes in his tent without running water, so green streaks of dye run down his neck and shoulders, too. He's not thrilled to move into a new tent on the VA campus, but he is looking forward to one thing, better security.
I want to be able to lock my stuff up. I had yet again another bag stolen yesterday. All my stuff. I'm tired of it.
In the last tent at one end of Veterans Row, Iraq War veteran Levon Johnson is the only person I talk to who says he's not leaving.
If we go inside, then we've been to their will. You know, so no.
Levon's lived at Veterans Row for more than a year. During that time, I've seen him have big mood swings and occasional outbursts, sometimes angry, sometimes seeming more panicked. Today, he strikes me as anxious.
We're defenders, man, and we still can't get what we asked for. I'm not going in there. I'm not going in there, brother. I'm sorry. And if I got to go against the world, no, I can be free. And I'm free to choose this spot because I have a work site.
November 1st is less than a week away. But enough time, I hope, for the professional outreach workers, the sheriff's homeless outreach services team, and maybe even doctors from the VA campus to connect with Levon and find a solution for him. For everyone who does plan to move to Veterans Row 2.0, they're not just taking the tents they have now over the fence. They'll move into brand new ones with brand new American flags. They have these few days to move all their stuff. And while it's not housing, I don't want to underestimate how big of a change it'll be. The veterans aren't moving far, but their new tents will sit on a lawn in what feels like a quiet park instead of beside a big road that drivers seem to treat more like a freeway. They'll receive 3 meals a day. They'll have showers. Even Rob, who only a week ago argued that sheriff's deputies were taking tents off the sidewalk too quickly, is fully behind Veterans Row 2.0.
If everyone gets inside and everybody's safely off the street, I'm going to be happy to personally be out from underneath San Vicente Boulevard. I'm going to continue talking to him throughout the, try to be with him every step of the way throughout the entire process. We've been asking this forever, though. I mean, I asked this like a year ago. Like, why can't we just move what we have inside?
It's been a long time coming.
This is Matt McGarren, who was the head of the VA's homelessness programs in L.A.
If it could have happened sooner, it would have been great, but it happens when it happens, and I think that it's going to be beneficial to all the veterans.
In past conversations, Matt's pointed out to me that the veterans on San Vicente Boulevard have always been free to come inside VA gates, to check into rehab programs or shelters, including the VA-run campsite nicknamed CTRS, the one with the little pup tents. And, Matt once said, the veterans are choosing not to come in. So what can you do? Well, apparently you can change your approach.
Most of the veterans that are on CTRS right now have come to us. These veterans, we went to them and asked them to come in. So it's been more of an invitation for them to come in.
Not to take this into an awkward dating metaphor, but the VA's decided to make the first move. And the agency is making accommodations that were off the table before. Remember, Veterans Row started after VA officials rejected a donation of a big 10x14 tent. Now they're willing to let volunteers build their own encampment full of those big tents. Matt tells me officials are making other changes on the campus, too, to try to prevent veterans from ending up on the street in the first place.
We're looking at having another modular building that we're going to put over here to be open 24 hours in case there's any walk-ins or anybody needs a place to stay overnight. We also extended our hours at CTRS until 8 p.m.
Before Veterans Row formed, it was harder to see the consequences of things like, say, running homelessness programs on bankers' hours or taking more than a decade to build affordable housing on this land deeded to veterans. Then the encampment sprang up, like ta-da, here we are, a living showcase of who's slipping through the cracks. So in that sense, it's understandable that these changes are only happening now, after a year plus of Veterans Row putting on its tragic show. And also, as anticlimactic as it seems, after all this time, for the solution to be simply recreating Veterans Row a few yards from where it is now, over a fence, I come to see in the days before the cleanup that Matt was not wrong when he said this was a long time coming, and it wasn't just the VA that had to change to get to this point.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
So I'm okay. I'm just muddling through.
Over the past year and a half, Navy veteran Jeffrey Powers has bounced from a tent inside the VA campus at CTRS to a tent here on the sidewalk at Veterans Row. And in a few days, he'll be back onto the VA campus again.
What do you think about the idea of everything on Veterans Row moving inside the fence and being its own thing?
As long as it doesn't come under security's watchful eye, then I think it'll be okay. Now, Robbie says he's going to be there every day to make sure that we don't run afoul. Last time I saw you, I was going down into because you asked me, you look kind of worn out, and it was because I was starting to become depressed, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that things were not moving along, and this was becoming. No one knew what was going to happen here. It's uncertainty that causes a lot of angst.
Jeffrey's just one veteran who's been through VA programs before. Others have too, and some feel wary about returning to the campus, like Doug Bew, a one-time Marine.
I took a picture of that sign, All the Rules.
Doug said he took a picture of a sign with All the Rules. Rules like no drugs or alcohol, no furniture in the tents. At this point, Rob jumps in with what I hear is a kind of strained casualness.
Yeah, they're pretty basic, nothing too crazy, and they're supposed to make this a very welcoming. We'll figure it all out. We'll figure it out one way or another.
In these final days, Rob's trying to walk a fine line, encouraging the veterans here to give the new encampment a shot without veering into pushiness. Meanwhile, people from the surrounding Brentwood area who've never come to the encampment before start showing up. Veterans Row changed the whole feel of this area for many of them. Neighbors have avoided walking or parking on this block, and they're curious to find out exactly when and how this will end. Like Isan Zahidani, a board member on the West LA Neighborhood Council.
So basically, I live here for 17 years, so we never seen such a situation for the past 17 years. So it's kind of shocking to us that this happened actually here.
He's been talking to the sheriff's deputies today about where the veterans will go when the camp is dismantled.
The big concern is the South Brentwood area. They're very concerned about when the cleanup happened on November 1st, then some of these individuals actually move to the neighborhood and camp there, basically. That's the major, major concern. I just discussed it with sheriff. And he basically responded that they will make sure, this doesn't happen.
One afternoon, John Philipko wanders down, the apartment building manager from across the street.
I'm John.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, Rob.
Yeah. Rob recognizes John from his YouTube videos, like the one showing drone footage of Veterans Row. And thinking about the emails Rob's written to Michelle Biznoff, the head of the Brentwood Community Council, I kind of expect him to pop off at John. But he doesn't.
Definitely understand that it must be challenging having, apartments in the area and neighbors having to see all this. But something we're all just trying to work through and get the problem corrected. So, because there's always going to be veterans that come here.
My concern is less like the look. It's more like
just the disturbance of noise, and there was a murder over there a little bit ago, but so, just those type of issues.
That whole incident that happened, that was difficult. That shouldn't have happened at all. There was a lot to do with that.
Since Veterans Row started until now, Rob has learned how to communicate better with the neighbors and the media, which has been calling him a lot. Part of what he's learned to do is zero in on the thing that's always drawn unusual attention to Veterans Row, the general goodwill that people in this country have towards military veterans.
We have some of, you know, the most severe cases of post-traumatic stress disorder. You have 16 combat veterans out here. We have veterans from Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, the Gulf War. So we really have like the whole gamut, and none of this should be happening. Everything that's going on out here, I mean, as far as trying to take care of these guys, should be happening on the other side of the fence.
What's the reason that they aren't able to get in?
So it's a multitude of things. So it fills
up. They talk for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like the VA, the county, the city, kind of broken. Like, there's a better approach. I have a massive respect for the vets, and so I, you know, want them to be taken care of.
Veterans are one of very few categories of people, maybe along with children, that Americans by and large believe shouldn't ever live on the street. To zoom out big picture for a moment here, that special social contract has a lot to do with why veteran homelessness went down so dramatically in this country between 2010 and 2016. It's because veterans got more help than other unhoused people. Help that Congress funded because it wasn't particularly controversial. And there are lessons in that about how we could, in theory, end homelessness for everyone, or at least make it better. One is that getting people off the streets depends on having some place for them to go. But not any place. It has to be somewhere that makes sense for the people you're helping. And even then, helping people from point A to point B sometimes takes work.
It's cool seeing it on this side, right?
A couple of days before November 1st, I'm standing with Rob inside the VA fence, where more than a dozen volunteers are at work on a lawn putting up the grid of tents that'll make up Veterans Row 2.0 and weighing them down with sandbags.
So I was letting him know the moving truck tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. I'm picking it up over. I should be out here by no later than 9.
Brandy Gray is a bubbly real estate pro who's been dropping off food and throwing fundraisers for Veterans Row for months. I ask her how she feels seeing Veterans Row 2.0 being built in front of us.
It's crazy. It's like a step in the right way, but it's kind of hard to be like, I don't know, they're still intense, you know? And I don't think that is a long-term solution, or even should be a very short-term solution. So it's just, it's a matter of doing this. It'd be nice if we were building them houses.
When she says this, it's hard not to think about the affordable housing the VA was supposed to have open on this campus by now. More than 700 apartments. So yeah, seeing the new tent encampment being built for them here is bittersweet. It's both a step up from the sidewalk and another monument to broken promises. I find Rob retying a flag on one of the new tents, pulling it tight.
What are you doing?
Getting the wrinkles out of the flags.
Why?
Just a pet peeve of mine. I don't like, the flags looking as straight as possible. I think it's pretty good. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks good. I mean, it looks, you know, looks organized. You guys got welcome mats. That's a nice touch.
Trying to make this as welcoming and hospitable as possible. It's going to be an adjustment for everybody. So I'm just hoping it goes smooth.
Former Marine Doug Bew rolls his wheelchair onto one of the little welcome mats that lay at the threshold of each tent. He peeks his head in through the flaps to look at what will soon be his new residence.
How does it look to you compared to what's out there?
It looks good. Keep the sun out, keep the heat out.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Yeah, does it look better than being out on the sidewalk?
Well, it's too dangerous out there. And it's too dangerous. Bad, yeah. You can't have that.
Though he knows being in here will come with a trade-off, Doug's the one who snapped the photo of the rules.
Got a lot of rules, but I can abide by rules. I did almost 40 years in prison.
You did?
I did. Oh. You knew that. You know my story.
A little bit of it. I didn't know that, actually. You didn't tell me
39
that.
Years and 8 months it was.
Oh.
For wow. Something I didn't do.
Oh.
And so I can do without smoking. I can do without beer. I can do without wine. I can do without women.
He adds, if I have to. And of course, he doesn't have to. He could go find a new camping spot on the street somewhere, fulfilling some of the neighbors' worst fears. But messy as it is, Veterans Row is a community now, and Doug is part of it. If the VA had just taken those huge Big Five tents that Bob Rosebrock tried to donate to CTRS all the way back in early 2020, there may not have ever been a Veterans Row. But I'm not convinced all these veterans would have then ended up on the VA campus instead. They're going in now largely because of the relationships they've formed with each other and the helpers around them.
Robbie's the guy that takes care of us the best of anybody, and he makes sure that he has all of our backs, and he does the best that he can with limited resources and, you know, doesn't have that much brain power. But he does his best. He really does, you know?
Army veteran Jim Bob Brookheiser again with the green hair. He tells me he went to take a look at Veterans Row 2.0, but then got stopped by security.
I left. I turned around, walked back up over here. I thought I was going to go look at my spot. I don't know about you, but I mean, when I go home, I don't want to be fucking searched.
Me neither. Accurate. Me neither. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a...
Yeah.
Conducive to a peace and well-being. I'm just saying.
Walking out over a simple security check is the kind of behavior that can get an unhoused person labeled service resistant, a phrase that VA leader Matt McGarren once used to describe the veterans of Veterans Row. Only a short time later, though, Jim Bob returns to the campus to give it another try. This time, Rob walks over with him, along with another veteran named Joseph.
How you doing, buddy?
Not only do veterans entering the new campground have to be searched, they also have to sit through a one-time, very long reading of the rules and sign papers saying they agree to abide. Rob, Jim Bob, and Joseph all sit down at a folding table on the edge of a parking lot, facing a VA employee who holds a packet of papers. Joseph, who has a back injury, stoops forward in his chair, his forehead almost touching the table. Jim Bob, with his dyed green torso, fidgets as the VA employee starts reading out the terms of living here.
Make sure that when you're inside your tent that you guys stay 6 feet apart from each other. And then we have our COVID test.
Around the 20-minute mark, Rob waves his hand, cuts in, and tries to speed things up by summarizing what the VA employee is saying. They make it through. Jim Bob and Joseph get the go-ahead to move their stuff into their new tents, and Rob tells me he interrupted because he could see Jim Bob and Joseph weren't going to last much longer listening to the VA rules. To him, it's a small example of VA officials not meeting the veterans where they're at.
God, they get in their own way. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, I heard you cut in there.
It is what it is.
What Rob is doing, walking and coaching veterans one by one into Veterans Row 2.0, depends on the trust he's built up with them over the last year plus. It's hard work. And it's one of the challenges in getting people off the streets all over LA, in that even if this county had all the shelter, financial assistance, and cheap healthcare and housing in the world, which it doesn't, it wouldn't do much good without people on the ground connecting the unhoused to those resources one by one. Not only is LA short on resources, it's short on connectors. I've seen this firsthand. Overloaded case managers, spotty street outreach that often ends with giving somebody a water bottle or putting their name on a wait list. More frequently, no outreach at all. Going one by one, finding out people's stories, earning their trust, and coming up with individual solutions is what it takes to move people off the street.
Can't force them to do things. A lot of them want help. You just got to figure out, what works best for the individual. And that's what I try to do.
It's easy to forget that Rob's not a longtime homelessness advocate. He doesn't have a history of activism, wasn't led into this by political beliefs. Not long ago, he was a firefighter in San Luis Obispo who loved riding dirt bikes on weekends. No connection to any of this.
If I didn't show up to the VA and if they had got me in right away like they're supposed to, I would have never been out. This opened my eyes to a lot of things that I probably never would have cared about before or even thought twice about.
It's now the day before cleanup day, and many of the volunteers who have showed up to Veterans Row over the past year plus have been calling Rob, asking if they can help, promising to show up tomorrow and make sure things go smoothly.
Are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be. I'm just going to think about today, and then I'll deal with tomorrow. But yes, I know a lot of people are coming tomorrow. My phone's been... I can't even keep up with the... There's so many people that are reaching out and trying to ask what's going on, and I'm trying to prioritize who I call back, and then I'm getting messages and people are mad that I'm not answering them, and I just don't have the time right at the moment because there's a lot of stuff going on.
Veterans Row and Veterans Row 2.0 might look identical, but moving this camp over the fence reframes its entire reason for being. It started as a protest, a cry for attention. Now it's turning into something else.
In some ways, nothing is changing, but in another way, this is a completely new situation with people moving on for property.
I haven't really had a chance to process it. It's just like there's been a total and complete shift just as far as, you know, the leadership at the VA and everything. Everyone's like engaging one another and talking and trying to work through things, which hasn't always been the case, so that's kind of nice to see. It's just weird. Just used to so long fighting everybody, and now it's like I don't have to fight with them. Just doesn't feel normal having like regular conversations, but it's good.
Yeah, do you feel like you've accomplished some of what you wanted?
Yeah. It couldn't really be much better, but I am looking forward to getting some of my life back. Yeah, it was like literally my life, but it wasn't for nothing. A lot of stuff has happened.
We're having this conversation right across the street from Veterans Row. We're looking at the long line of tents. A lot of the veterans have moved all their stuff, so the tents are largely empty, flags drooping.
At some point, I'm probably going to remove the flags from the tents. Maybe then it'll be more real once I do that.
In 24 hours, Veterans Row will be gone, flags and all. But what else will change besides the clearing of a sidewalk? That's next time on the final episode of City of Tents, Veterans Row. City of Tents, Veterans Row is written, reported, and hosted by me, Anna Scott. Our story editor is Audrey Quinn. Executive produced by Sonia Geis. Sound design, scoring, and mix by Ray Guarna, with production assistance from Zeke Reed, and music provided by Megatrax. Production help and fact-checking by Alexandra Applegate. Special thanks to Lou Olkowski, Ryan Kyloff, Karellen Madison, Theo Balcom, and Quinn O'Toole.